There is nothing wrong with your internet. Do not attempt to adjust your settings. We are controlling the podcast. We control the squealing and the screams. We can make your heart flutter, your eyes blur from tears, or sharpen your mind to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit back. We are in control of what you hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your settings. You are about to experience the awe and mystery known as the female mind. You are now entering the fangirl zone.
Welcome to the Mudhorn Clancast on the Fangirl Zone. I am Beskar Dave.
I'm Sean Fangirl Hess.
And I'm Sith Lord Steve. Today we're talking about Chapter 22 of The Mandalorian, titled Guns for Hire, Episode 6 of Season 3, written by Jon Favreau and directed by Bryce Dallas Howard.
Sith Lord Steve doesn't use his heavy voice for the rest of the sentence.
No. I'd hurt his throat and make him honey. Okay. So, we have some show news, but not just about this show, because as I'm sure you figured out, we record after the show actually airs. And in that time, Star Wars Celebration 2023 kicked off. So, we have so much stuff that came out of the first day from Star Wars Celebration. So, this is just going to be a little bit, because I'm sure there's tons more dropping over the weekend.
Yeah.
So, Lucasfilms has announced three, count them, three new film projects at Star Wars Celebration. James Mangold will direct a film covering the first Jedi to wield the Force set 25,000 years before the film. So that should be interesting.
Yeah.
Now, this is obviously just off topic, well, on topic. Did any of the books ever cover that? Do we know? Or comics or anything?
They have there's definitely comics, but didn't they have Tales of the Old Republic? I don't know.
So is that where this is going to fall, or is this going even further back?
Yeah, I would imagine so, yeah.
Okay. I wasn't sure, because at 25,000 years, that's a long time.
Yeah, that's a long time.
I don't know what they'd call it, the Old Republic, even at that time, but I mean, it might precede the Old Republic. Were they, if you're a Jedi back then, you ride a horse?
Yeah.
I wonder just if somehow it's going to lead to, like, a Knights of the Old Republic, but I guess we'll see. This is semi-directly related to Mandalorian. Dave Filoni, oh, we know who he is, will direct a film set in the Mandoverse, which links the current D+ series together. So there's a lot of Disney+ series that he's going to be weaving a tale through. So interesting, especially that we're getting it as a movie and not another series to weave everything through. Charmin Obaid Chinoy will direct a film featuring Rey rebuilding the Jedi Order 15 years after the Rise of Skywalker and defending it against those who wish to tear it down.
Can't give these people a break, but I am really happy to see Daisy Ridley back. I'm glad she's getting a movie.
Yep.
And the final piece of news, if you have not watched it, where have you been? The trailer for Ahsoka has dropped. And oh my gosh, we got so much in there. I mean, there's other YouTube shows that were, like, breaking down every teeny tiny bit, but we did get, like, announcements of who's going to be who. So it was pretty exciting watching it. I say just watch it and be happy. But Obviously, if you're a fan of Rebels, you are probably losing your mind. Yeah. Because we got Sabine Wren back, who is being played by Natasha Liu Bordizzo.
Don't like the long hair. Get the haircut back.
The fact that you say that, I find that very interesting, because the last time we had Sabine on screen, even though it was animated, she had a pixie cut. So probably like an inch and a half or 2 inches max, I'd say, all over her head.
Yeah.
And now it's showing how much time has really passed. And I think that was really the whole thing.
Grew her hair out.
Because that's long hair, and that takes a long time, I will tell you. We have Hera Syndulla, played by Mary Elizabeth Winstead, which, if you're a fan of Scott Pilgrim, I am, you know who she is. And she'll be back for that, too, by the way. And I'm so excited, because since we've already seen Zeb on screen, the last Mandalorian episode, we also got to see Chopper in the in the preview. Chopper. Which I was like, oh my god, it's Chopper! Yeah, I'm excited about a droid. And then we get to see the big bad, which everyone has been waiting for. The villain Thrawn, who is being played on screen by the actor who voiced him in Rebels, Lars Mikkelsen. So I was super excited, but then, Steve, I think you know me well enough to know I totally freaked out when we had a certain droid on screen.
Right.
The teacher Hwang, because he is voiced by David Tennant, who is my favorite actor.
Yes.
We have so much going on. The series is going to be directed by Dave Filoni, Steph Green, Peter Ramsey, Jennifer Getzinger, Geeta Patel, and Rick Famuyiwa. I'm screwing up his last name. I'm like so excited. I can't say his name, and I'm so sorry. And it was just amazing. And finally, one last piece. Pedro Pascal was not at Celebration, which a lot of people were very upset about. But instead, Giancarlo Esposito and Katie Sackhoff, along with Dave Filoni, all spoke about the series and what might come in the future. Oh, and I lied. There's one more. Because Steve brought this up previously. Acolyte characters and their cast was all named at Star Wars Celebration. So that was a lot going on for one day. And we will definitely be telling everybody more that's coming out because it's unbelievable how much stuff is coming out.
I hope there's enough Dave Filoni to go around.
Oh yes. My gosh. I don't know. I'm starting to think She-Hulk might have been real.
Is there a droid? Dave Filoni that can help him out?
Yes.
That's what I'm thinking. It's a big computer thing, just like in She-Hulk. So I'm so excited I dropped my phone as I was reading everything to everyone. So there's more coming because we have way more announcements coming out. We are sharing what we get, what we find out on the Fangirl Zone page. So if you haven't already seen everything, or if you were lucky enough to actually go, you can shoot us some information about what else you found out. Okay, so let me bring my excitement level down so I can talk like a normal person for this Mandalorian episode. So Dave, why don't you tell us the super detailed recap that we got this, this episode.
I hope you have some patience because this reads like War and Peace. Ready? A Mandalorian begins an important journey. The end.
What?
Yeah, it better begin an important journey. So let's get the initial reactions so I can get my negatory views out of the way. We'll start with Sean. What do you have, Sean?
I liked it because it was kind of fun, but at the same time, it seemed like, oh, okay, we have kind of a throwaway part, a little bit that was important in the middle, and then we finally got to the story. I did like it just because I thought it was fun, but in regards to moving everything forward, I thought, wow, we really went around the block to go next door.
Yeah.
Steve?
I enjoyed this episode. I love the banter between Din and Bo as they're doing the investigation on the droids. That was a lot of fun.
And of course, they like to bicker, huh?
Yes.
Like an old married couple.
Yep.
Yep. Bo's like, I got this. I know what we need to do, but Dan goes, nope, I've dealt with these things before. I know what to do. So that was awesome. And of course, once we did get to the end of the storyline, that was great. I kind of had a feeling that that was going to be the way it goes for Bo to get the Darksaber back.
I didn't even think about it that way. And I know we've been talking about theories, like she was going to slap him or something. And
right.
I did not even think, and I think I might be in the majority here that, oh, well, yeah, that makes sense. It totally worked out, but I don't know. Whoever had that, like, on the horizon, kudos to you. I don't know.
Yeah, Jon Favreau had that planned out from the beginning.
Yeah, lost it in battle. He won it in battle, so I buy it. It still seems quick and easy. I have a problem with quick and easy. I like larger stakes to it. That didn't have any large stakes to it. No. Of course, you can swing it like a champion.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's the first time we saw in this episode where Din Djarin actually swung that sword with authority.
Yeah.
With that droid. So I'll get my negative views out of the way. I thought it was a little disappointing. And it's another Bryce Dallas Howard love story. She loves to do her love story. She did the one with the frogs.
Right.
And I'm all for advancing the plot. And I complained last week then it might be turning into the Bo-Katan show. And I just want to see the man. What's the name of the show again? The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Move forward. But now we have, what, 2 episodes left?
Yep.
Something's got to give. And as I semi-predicted, it's going to have a cliffhanger. End with a cliffhanger. Everyone's going to go, oh. And then they, and so it makes me mad because they spend all this time doing silly stuff like the cameos. Not that they didn't do a good job. They did do a good job, but come on, man. Now it's almost over. And we got to see Lizzo strutting around in this wild outfit and Jack Black roll his eyes. Yeah. Okay, I'm done.
All right, let's get into our top 3 moments. Sean, number 3.
Okay, so my top 3. Number 3 was actually when we got to see the cameos hit the screen. Because...
You're killing me, Smalls.
I know. As soon as they walk in, because it just threw me. I wasn't expecting it. And they walk in, and I'm like, wait a second. And my husband's like, wait, is that Jack Black? I'm like, is that Lizzo? We're both like, what? Like, wasn't expecting it. And it kind of goes hand in hand with it. All the back, behind the scenes moments that they were sharing. Because it looked like they were just all having fun.
Right.
And when Lizzo explained why this was such a big deal for her to be in it, because if you don't know, her dad was a huge fan and they used to watch the movies and stuff when she was little. And I could be wrong. I thought she said he passed. So that she was doing this kind of like looked at him doing something that was like your favorite and it was our favorite. And I hope you're getting a kick out of me being in Star Wars and being able to see my face, not just, you know, the big alien blob over on the side,
right,
that kind of thing. And Christopher Lloyd, I was just like, wait, what?
Yeah.
I liked the cameo, but Dave, listen to this. I liked the cameo because of the way they portrayed him, that he wasn't just like, oh, okay, the Empire's gone, it's great. That showing how there are people who are still, you know, for the Empire kind of thing. So that's why I like, you know, him and the way it moved along with that part. So that's my number 3.
Yeah, he wasn't for the Empire. He's like a separatist. He was
a separatist. That's right. I'm sorry, yeah. But he wasn't like happy the way everything was.
No,
that's what I said.
Did we get an actual reason why he had to sabotage his own effort?
I think he was just mad that they were using the droids, and it's like, no, right, Everybody should have a place in society and not just is that not just
really?
Is that not yeah, just like
take care
calling
of yourself,
capitalism out?
So he poisons them.
Right.
Totally calling capitalism out. Like, no, you can't just enjoy arts and democracy. You need to be working and doing all of this. It's like, oh, okay. That was a little bit of a cringy moment for me, but I still enjoyed it. It's like, okay, it's showing that not everybody is happy with what's going on.
Well, my number 3 is Knight of the Order of Independent Regencies. Or Grogu leaves so the care terrible of the Duchess. The foundling is knighted in the eyes of Blazar 15. Grogu is given the title of a Knight of the Order of Independent Regencies. This is a strange nod to the fact he would have become a Jedi Knight if not for Order 66. Still, at least he's given a title, even if the Duchess did never ask for his name. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I thought she 3 said his name. No?
No.
No.
Oh my gosh. Now that I'm like, a second.
That's funny you mentioned that, because earlier, Din Djarin was a little pissed at the High Magistrate by saying he's got a name, it's Grogu. And this time he doesn't introduce Grogu at all.
No.
Weird. I do like the interplay between Grogu and Bo-Katan. I think she thinks he's cute, too, and they always banter with each other.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's a little one-sided.
he did coo at her, so.
Yeah, he does coo at her, yep.
Yes, he's making more noises.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Can you buy one of those plushies and squeeze it and it'll make a cooing or a patoo sound?
Yeah.
Somebody head over to Build-A-Bear and let us know.
Yeah. Yep. Okay, my number 3. Mando, or Din Djarin, crashes through a window during the foot chase. They were going after that battle droid.
Yeah.
And they split up. And he comes around. He ducks through an alleyway, ducks through another alleyway, runs through a restaurant. Kind of like a Western, and crashes out the window and smashes into the battle droid. I'm sure he meant that as a hug, too, since he mentioned earlier you had me at battle droid, so.
Oh, my God.
But I just like the old-fashioned foot chase scene we've seen a million times in cop dramas and Westerns.
Yep, that definitely had the Western feel because he came flying through the window.
Yeah,
that our trench run this episode.
Yeah. All right, moving on to number two, Sean.
Well, my number two kind of goes along with what Dave said, only I'm going back to the beginning of that part when he's just randomly kicking the droid. Just because I'm cracking up because the other droid, oh my god, can't remember what they were called, but the Proton's talking and he's like, hey, stop doing that. Because those are always the comic relief droids right there.
That voice too. Hey, yes, what are you doing?
That's yeah. What it is, I think, more than anything. But then, you know, we got Mando over there just kicking the door, like, okay, no, he's fine. Nope, that one's fine. Oh, here we go. like, you know what? I don't care if I'm a droid. You kick me, I'm going to have an attitude, too. I'm just saying.
Right.
But it was comical, and I liked it.
All right. Well, my number two is the commissioner did it.
Is that like being the butler?
Yeah.
Kind of that clue
is all of the infected droids seem to have shared the same batch of Nepenthe, the only drink a droid can have. Is it like oil?
Kinda.
So they extract some of that from the impacted super battle droid, take it to the lab, and discover this particular batch of Nepenthe, the one that has caused all the malfunctions planet-wide, contains nanodroids, tiny subatomic droids that are working together to corrupt all these bigger droids. Nanites. A look at their code reveals that they were smuggled onto the planet illegally, and whoever did that is the culprit. And wouldn't you know it, the person left their name on the illegal transaction. It's Commissioner Hellgate.
I'm guessing they never thought anybody was going to look that hard.
Right. Hellgate is confronted by Mando and Bo, and in a scene that shows why Lloyd took this role in the first place, he goes off on a Bond villain monologue about how Count Dooku was a visionary during the Clone Wars, screw all the other governing bodies, etc. That takes too long, though, and Bo-Katan just decides to stun him, ending the case.
Yeah, I have to get one of those.
Yep. Dave, you're number two?
My number two is Grogu cheats for the Duchess. Oh, my goodness. He grabs her robe, you know, gives it the eye closed, and then raises his hand, and next thing you know, she wins. It's a record never done before. I like how he's got those big eyes and he looks up at her and is like, yeah, goo.
Yeah.
And they're all like, wow, that was awesome, Duchess.
It kind of had a Queen of Hearts moment for me there. Like, if it didn't work, it's like, off with her head.
Right. All right. Our number ones, Sean?
I'm kind of torn. So one's going to end up being my honorable mention. So the fighting with the Mandalorians all together with Bo-Katan and everything happening. Now, I don't know about you guys. I thought it was going to end up being a brawl, not just one-on-one.
Right.
And the final reveal with the saber, it's like, wait a minute, that threw me. But all of it together, I'm like, okay, see, Bo can hold her own. We don't have to worry about it. And I want to know how long Mando has been planning this with the black saber, because he's like, okay, yeah, they want you to have the saber. Got it. Okay. This makes sense for me. So here you go. And I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
think they'll hold hands one of these days?
I'm waiting for her to just, like, punch him in the arm. Like, I can't believe you did that.
Yeah, my number one also. Bo gets the darksaber. Finally, Bo is given the chance to do what fans have expected her to do since last season. Challenge Mando for the saber. But instead, he just hands it over. Now, everyone knows that's not how the darksaber works. It must be won in combat. But Mando explains how back in episode 2, he was captured by a creature that Bo-Katan then defeated. He suggests she defeated the enemy that defeated me. Would this blade then not belong to her? It takes everyone a second to consider this, the audience included, no doubt, until it's decided, sure, that worked.
Yeah.
And so
I loved her face, too. It was just like,
yes. And so after God knows how many years away, the episode ends with Bo-Katan Kree's finally reclaiming her birthright, the symbol of the leader of the Mandalore, the Darksaber. Dave, you're number one?
I'm so bitter I don't have a number one. Kidding. I'm kidding. My number one was the fight between Bo and Axe Woes there. I thought I even wrote down everything they did. I mean, it was pretty, I don't know, aerobatic. I don't know, they used rockets, knives, punching, flying, ropes, flames, shields.
It was pretty impressive fight.
Yeah,
in flight. Yes, there we go.
Yeah, it was all pretty clever. She did prove to be the better fighter, though. He never said I yielded, too. Even when she had him down the second time with the knife, It's just, if I was her, I would say, say it.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't trust you. Say it.
But that was my number one.
All right. Well, like I was talking about the honorable mentions, and I was like torn. I would say my honorable mention was when they were down and I talking to the, are they Ogma?
Ugnuts. Ugnuts.
Okay. When they were talking to them, because Bo-Katan is like, okay, let me be diplomatic and talk about it. And finally, Mando's just like, no, that's not how you talk to them. This is how you do it. I have spoken. Yeah. I was like, yeah. Wow. Okay, that sounded so shitty. I'm going to be honest. Like, I have spoken. Like, who the hell do you think you are? I'm like, oh, wait, no, that's how they talk. Okay, never mind.
Yeah.
So that was my honorable mention, mostly because it threw Bo-Katan way off. Like, oh, okay, I guess I don't know how to do everything, princess or not.
Yep.
Steve, what was your honorable mention for this episode?
I've got a couple. After Din, Bo and Grogu land on Quasar 15, they are greeted by a pair of droids reminiscent of Star Wars' most iconic robots. These two formal Imperial droids greet the trio, one protocol droid and one astromech. This is clearly a mirroring of R2-D2 and C-3PO, almost as if the Mandalorian included their evil counterparts. That I would love to see. Undoubtedly, the biggest surprise of the episode 6 is the actors choosing to play Quasar 15's leaders, Jack Black and Lizzo. Upon entering the main hall of Quasar 15, Black and Lizzo are shown as the rulers of the planet, with Black playing a formal Imperial under the New Republic amnesty program. Lizzo plays his lover, the Duchess of Quasar 15. We get another force jump from Grogu right into the Duchess's yeah. arms, and one scene in The Mandalorian Episode 6 takes place in a droid bar, a fun reflection of A New Hope. In the original Star Wars, the Mos Eisley Cantina does not allow droids, later revealed to be a result of anti-droid prejudice after the Clone Wars. Therefore, it's ironic to see a droid bar, particularly one with so many Clone War era droids. The droid bar features many Easter eggs with a range of recognizable droids. Attentive viewers will spot protocol droids, astromechs, battle droids, gunk droids, and even the chef droid first seen in Star Wars Episode 2, Attack of the Clones, to name a few. This appears to be becoming a mainstay of Star Wars television, having appeared in several previous Disney Plus TV shows, most notably The Book of Boba Fett. And that's my honorable mentions.
Well, you know, Steve, when you mentioned those two alternate droids, it made me think of Fringe. And we had a Fringe character in this episode, or actor. It was the voice of the bartender, Seth Gable.
Nice!
Yeah, I know. It played Lincoln Lee, an alternate Lincoln Lee.
Yep.
We're like, oh, 34 episodes, it says here on IMDb. I'm like, wow!
Yep.
The Quarren captain, also Joanna Bennett, she has a lot of superhero street cred. A lot of movies. Okay.
I love how they're bringing all these people in, like from all these different sci-fi things, and everyone's like, oh my god, this is awesome.
I saw some of the Star Wars this morning, and the three main actors hugged each other, and they're like, we can't believe we're in Star Wars. And I would imagine any voice actor would be like, yeah, put me in right now.
Yep.
All right, my honorable mentions. Also, the droid bar in the Lincoln Lee, the bartender, was called. Turned around and said, we wish to serve. Well, humans don't live that long, but we live forever, so, and they did create us. And they turn around and they look, and they're all like, shaking their heads yes, and doing all their twittering. Funny.
Yep.
I just love a droid bar. I'm like, wait, what?
Yes.
Yeah. Never thought, I gotta go relax.
I want to see what it looks like when one of them overdoes. It's like lying on the floor under the table or something. Yeah.
Spazzing.
Too much. I'll give an honorable mention to handing over the Darksaber. I found it too easy, but technically correct. She won it in battle.
Yep.
Even if it was that eye monster thingy, whatever that was.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And she gets it. Gosh, I had another one I thought. Oh, when she was standing there and opened up the blade, I looked at it. I was watching my screen. And I said to myself, Queen.
Yep.
That's my HMs.
You know what? Before we move on, I got one more because you mentioned it. It just kind of popped in my head when Jack Black's character was like, oh, yeah, we'll recognize Mandalore. And she actually said, no, we're beyond that. But I thought this whole point was still to go back to Mandalore. I mean, what's going on? Are we just going to be like, we're in the lava flats, we're good? Or do you think that was in that moment, she's like, no, that's not what we're doing?
I don't know.
I just think that because they haven't gotten everybody back together and moved back to Mandalore, that she was just basically saying, we're not ready, and Mandalore isn't there yet.
Okay.
It is kind of a burnt-out husk. They got a long road to hoe.
Yes.
They'll get there.
Yeah, I mean, we'll have a big time jump between season 3 and season 4, I believe, for Mandalore, at least.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I believe that's how we're going.
I wasn't quite sure if Dave's saying that, like, ironically or sarcastically. Oh, really?
No, I was thinking when Steve mentioned that, I was thinking a big gap between the seasons of 3 and 4. I'm like, no!
Oh, yeah.
No, not, no, no. I'd be very sad. We aren't going to have a 2-year gap between these two seasons. They've already filmed season 3, so they're starting on 4. So,
yeah, 4's, they're getting, 4's written.
Yeah, 4's written. They'll be starting filming soon.
Aren't we getting the second Book of Boba Fett in there somewhere in between?
Yep, should.
See, they're going to try to tie it together. I feel like Filoni's already tying things together this way. We're going to have a movie to tie it together. Right. I feel like that movie's going to be everywhere. Like, okay, we got to pull this and this and this and this and this.
Isn't Dave Filoni doing the movie where they bring everything together?
That's what I'm saying. It's going to be really confusing because there's a lot of pieces.
Yeah.
Yeah, at the end of the movie, we'll have Ahsoka joining Mandalore.
Yeah, I don't know. There was a movie, and somebody might know what it was, where there was, I want to say, 4 or 6 different stories going on the screen at the same time, because it was like cut into different pieces like that.
Right.
So think of a Zoom call, only as a movie.
Yes.
And I started watching it, and I'm like, this is confusing, so I stopped. And I kind of feel like that's what's going to happen for this movie. To try to put all these pieces together because we have so many things and in so many different timelines.
Right.
But I guess we just wait and see because he's been able to pull it off so far. Why should I doubt now?
Yes.
Because there's only so much Filoni to go around. That's what worries me. Okay, so let's get to the ratings out of 5 and we'll continue with Sean. Sean, go ahead.
Okay, so I did like it. It was fun. Some parts were just really comical, so I'm going to give it a 3.5 out of 5 jumping Grogu's. But jump for some food. It's like, that was very doggish, though. It's like, that ain't cool, man. That wasn't cool, but still. It's like, ah! It's like, yes, she knows my weakness. Food.
Yep.
Same Grogu. Same.
Now, I'm giving it 4.5 out of 5 evil R2-D2 and C-3PO.
They were highly polished.
Yes, they were.
Okay, time to bring down all the happiness.
As always, we have some.
That's why I got 4.5.
Friend, Red from the Netherlands. Dallas,
so Howard, you got a romance in once again, another love story. So Steve, I'm giving it 2 out of 5. Yes, 2 out of 5. Ally McGraw and Ryan O'Neill.
The Mandalorian season 3.
Wow, we're going 6. Back.
Well, I didn't need it, expensive but I'm just frustrated at the lack so of progress. Well, it was on Twitter. Somebody had seen 7 Captain already. That's 7 or 9. The Duchess, but the episode says, really don't worry. Nice. Back in, the story is back and you'll love it. Very okay, promise.
Kind of yes.
The combination of the Wizard of
Oz, the last couple episodes, like
Alice
an hour and a half long, because that's what I feel like I need.
Star Wars. But costumes, colors, all very, very nice. But perhaps a little on Star Wars like. Also very nice with the Duchess is this with her moving big purple flower behind her back. When she was sitting, I thought that is just a part of her chair, but then she was walking around and just took it along. Nice world building with these domes and these high speed tube, mainly transparent, also very cool. In other words, great visuals this episode. Fun, but also a little weird. The interaction between the Duchess and Grogu was, of course, nice. I think this is a good episode for the younger ones under us. Although there were also quite some fight scenes. And Grogu is taken into knighthood. I'm happy, by the way, that Bo-Katan is allowed to take her helmet off so that we can see something of Katie Sackhoff. And, of course, great to see Christopher Lloyd here. The guy is 85. As Commissioner Hellgate. Really, really cool. Although in parallel, also watching Star Trek Picard with also the 80 plus Patrick Stewart, really get the feeling that all these old actors still are quite doing some performances. And not in a bad way, I think. In this whole story, it's a little bit unclear why this Commissioner Hellgate sabotaged the droid. Okay, he disliked what Captain Bombardier changed in his world, but what was his plan? What was his grand plan? So that the citizens of this world had to work again instead of only going for recreation. There's a bit far-fetched. And a bit of pity of the acting talent of Christopher Lloyd. It could be a better plot. Okay, that will be all for now. Greetings, all the best, Fred from the Netherlands.
Okay, Fred, I couldn't agree more that Christopher Lloyd and Patrick Stewart can still bring it as far as acting goes in their 80s. That is truly amazing. And yeah,
go ahead. I don't know in regards to, why would he not want people to like live a life of leisure and arts and stuff? Because, right. I don't know, look around. If you look in the U.S., there's like so many people that don't believe that it's necessary. So, I mean, I guess it kind of depends on your worldview at that point.
Right.
I agree with Fred, too, on the plot, like the plot, you know, yeah. His plot and how it fits in the plot. I was like, okay, whatever. I was given a jolt by seeing Lloyd and the other two cameos. I'm like, as I mentioned earlier, like, it took me out of the episode. I know who they are.
Right.
You know, and seeing them there was like, that's the quintessence of fan service. You're such a fan, I'm going to put you in the show.
Right.
Where's my call?
Yeah.
Just saying.
Maybe we'll be in next season.
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
They're already, they're about to start filming season 4. So, yeah, if Dave didn't get his call yet, he's probably not in season 4.
Yeah.
And I do agree that it definitely had a different feel to it than from most Star Wars episodes of any kind, because you don't really get all that clean. And yeah, it did feel a little Alice in Wonderland and Wizard of Oz there with some of those scenes. But, well, Fred, it's always great to hear from you, and we appreciate it, and we're looking forward to hearing what you think of the finale.
Thanks, Fred.
Well, please review and rate us on iTunes and any other platform you use for your podcast. With good ratings and reviews, it helps other fans of the show find us, as there are plenty of other Mandalorian podcasts out there. Tell your friends, and we do hope you're enjoying our podcast. And don't forget to check out the other great Fangirl Zone podcast.
Don't you ever steal my line again.
Yeah, really. Sorry about that.
Boy. So, any other thoughts on this episode before we're closing everything out?
Well, I can only imagine. Well, we know Mosh coming back, right?
Giles, would he be at Star Wars Celebration for the Mandalorian?
Something bad's going to happen. If he comes back, he's going to be nasty. And just like Star Trek series is going on Picard, we have to have stakes. It just can't be a magic happy ending to everything. Something has to give. Otherwise, it's just going to be same old, same old. We just watch videos of droid bars, you know, over and over, which is fun, but it gets a little old. So I'd like to see some stakes. You know, there has to be repercussions for what they do. So bring it on.
Any final thoughts, Steve?
Yeah, Goth will be waiting for him on Mandalore to show up.
Wow.
That's interesting.
He's the one that burnt it out, right?
That's right.
Wow.
And he knows Mando has the dark saber, so yep, I'm thinking he's going to be waiting and hiding for them to show up on Mandalore.
Think he'll challenge Bo-Katan for it? You have to.
Oh hell yes!
Okay, good. Want to see that?
Yes. She will strike him down.
I hope so.
He'll probably use it as a distraction and kidnap baby Grogu.
Don't say that.
Yep.
Too late.
I think Grogu will crush his head. Ah, I'm so much stronger. Crunch. Grogu goes dark in that moment. I'm just saying. Anyway, so this has been a crazy episode. Like, just fun and slightly moving forward. And now the thoughts I have swirling around my head because of these two. Hopefully, you know, everybody else has some crazy thoughts out there and you want to let us know. So if you want to tell us all of your crazy tinfoil hat theories, what you want to happen, what you're storyboarding at home for, head on over to www.fangirlzone.com. Check out our contacts page with all the ways to get hold of us and let us know, because there's a lot of ways and we like all of the thoughts everybody has about these shows, because we know there's a lot of ideas floating out there and you never know. Maybe, you know, Favreau or Filoni are listening to some of these podcasts to get some more ideas. You never know. Okay, yeah, it's hopeful thinking, but you know, so. I'll be hopeful. So for this episode of the Mudhorn Clancast,
I'm Sith Lord Steve. I return this blade to its rightful owner.
I'm Sean Fangirl S, and you know, Mando and that voice, you're killing me because my mind did not stay in the right place when you're handing the blade over to the rightful owner.
And this is and this is Beskar Dave. Now, I might have given the episode a 2 out of 5, but I have no problem with a little tentacle sex.
Oh my god.
You see that open? I'm like, I watch it, I'm like, ew.